We growl. There you go.
What's going on, Clinton Yates? The big CY, as you are known by Christopher Morales, apparently.
The handsome one.
I saw Morales at Rams camp, which was fun. That was a great trip out. I just want to mention that because I know that we do a lot of cross-pollination here on the show.
Sure.
Have you guys been out there yet?
No, I've not been out there yet. In fact, probably won't be. The first time I'll see the Rams will be August the 14th at SoFi Stadium when they play the San Diego Chargers. There I am. They're already the San Diego Chargers again. But I'll be at that game. But in the meantime, not going to camp, going to the exhibition games, though. They've got two home exhibition games. And, Clinton, as you may or may not know, I am a personal seat license holder and season ticket holder for my Los Angeles Rams. Yeah.
I am very aware. That's why I brought it up. And I wanted to say this, too, because I actually – first of all, the setup out there at Irvine is great. If you're a fan of the Rams who's looking for something to do, this is not some, airy bad experience where the guys are kind of in the distance and you may or may not get to see them do anything. They've got a nice little sort of arrangement set up around two football fields that make it really sort of intimate. And if it's full, it's fun. Yeah, it's quite the time.
Nice. Well, it's a great day to be on the radio. Thank you very much for filling in. Appreciate it. You know the weird story with John Ireland, the weird backstory, right? I should establish this up front.
Yeah, he can't talk on these days because of his gig, I take it.
So he's a member of the Lakers organization, and so because the Russell Westbrook trade will not be final, I think until the 6th, is that the end of the week, end of this week?
I think so.
He's not allowed to talk about the deal because obviously – the play-by-play guy sways most of the free agency franchises.
He's
Ireland,
the needle majorly.
Ireland moves markets, you know what I'm saying? it was a momentous last week, and I don't know if I've ever – I mean, I said it last week. I don't think I've ever been through a day like Thursday night or a day like Friday when we had these gigantic deals coming down at virtually the same time. Russell Westbrook, Max Scherzer, Trey Turner, all coming to Los Angeles basically simultaneously. And, you know, the thing I love about being in L.A. is that we've got teams that are in go-for-it mode all the time. Now, I wondered from you, since you are from D.C., if you had any sad feelings about the sort of breaking up of the Nationals and Westbrook leaving the Wizards.
So let me say this. First of all, the Wizards have been on a hamster wheel for 20 years that has not changed, which is that they never really want to break it down and build a real team. They always want to have a star or two hanging around just so they can say that they were there. And then they're not really going to do anything that's going to make them progress to becoming an actual better basketball team. So, losing Russell Westbrook, I mean, come on. We hardly knew you. The biggest part of his Wizards tenure was probably when Ted Leontis, the owner, gave him a jersey for breaking the triple-doubles record. It wasn't even anything that cool. Now, so him going, whatever. He was, I'm still mad about them trading John Wall. That's a different discussion.
Yeah,
so,
the other part of it, I know you're a Nationals. Yeah. Big fan.
But the Nationals part, though, Mace, is interesting because I would say, and, I'll throw a little shade out here. I would say Nats fans are handling the breakup of this generation of Nationals players way better than, say, Cubs fans are handling it in terms of how that team went apart. Now, of course, there's a little bit more bad blood on the Cubs side because of the way that they were screwing with service times and, people have other issues with the owners, so, it feels worse. But, I think most Nats fans are hey, we got a World Series win. If you got to trade Scherzer and trade Trey, guys who were integral parts of this fan experience, and move on with what your franchise is doing, that's cool. Won that thing 2 years ago. It's not that big of a deal in terms of evolving as a fan base, and I'm glad to see them be able to go to winners and teams that can contend.
Yeah, it's great, obviously, for the Dodgers. That playoff rotation, Bueller, Kershaw, Scherzer, Urias, is going to be a dynamic rotation. If Urias doesn't get chipped to the bullpen and put into that high-leverage closer role that he was in during the postseason last year,
I think he might find his way back there, and I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, me too. I am completely in agreement. Now, there's lots of debate about the Russell Westbrook trade to the Lakers, and we will let you know that we're all over NBA free agency for you. There will be rumors that start to come out as we work towards 3 o'clock, which is the official deadline when free agency officially opens for the NBA.
Okay.
But a lot of reaction to the Westbrook trade. First of all, general fan reaction, I would say, is through the roof, excited. We got another star. We got a three-headed monster. We've got a super team. And I sort of fall into that camp. I fall into the camp of, hey, we got Westbrook. Now it's just up to Pelinka to put the right pieces around them like he did 2 years ago for that championship run. On the other hand, you've got guys who I respect a lot, like Zach Lowe and Tim Bontemps. I listened to Bontemps on the Windhorse podcast today, who are so south on this move for the Lakers. Say they would have been much better off making the Buddy Hield trade as opposed to the Westbrook trade. Where do you come down?
So there's a couple of different points on that that I think are interesting, which is that I think that where Bontemps – I love Good Times, by the way. He's fantastic. He's a friend of mine. I think where they come down on this is like – if you want to be a Laker fan that wants to see the Lakers better for longer, well then, yeah, Buddy Hield is the move that makes sense. But if you are a sort of Laker LeBron fan, well, you want LeBron to be happy. And so for me, first of all, none of this happens without LeBron making sure that it happens. And number two, Russell Westbrook's work rate is still something that is admirable in this league. And if he can manage to channel his energies and kind of use his powers for good, for lack of a better term, on a good team, I think this is a good pickup. I mean, I was actually surprised at how well I've thought about how this would work. As long as he manages to rotate his game a little bit, you know, the shots probably go down a little bit more, the assist attempts go up, but the rebounding becomes a critical factor in terms of how they get up and down the court. I like this blend. Of course, you've got to fill out the roster. Everybody's got to do that, but I think that inherently for this year or whatever these 2 years that it happens, if LeBron likes Westbrook, Lakers fans should like Westbrook because that will make everybody better.
Well, you know, they talk about when they all get together at sort of Camp David and they make an accord of some kind. I feel like that's from reading Ramona Shelburne's article today, which is very, very good. And I read it from beginning to end. She'll be so proud of me when she gets here tomorrow. I a lot of times I get lost and when I sort of drift off. I'm a skimmer. I'm big on the skim. So I read the whole thing, and the idea that they all got together, that LeBron, AD, and Westbrook got together, sounds like they have reached an accord. They've decided that they are going to sacrifice whatever it is they need to sacrifice in terms of what numbers show up in the box score in order for this team to win and to win a championship. And so, yes, ideally, it's not on the surface the greatest fit in the world. It's not the greatest fit in the world. I mean, there are spacing issues. Hield certainly would have stretched the floor and given them a guy who could knock down a three from the arc after LeBron kicks it out, etc. But I think I'm in the let's do it and now let's see where it goes mode. And I think there are guys out there, and we'll start hearing some of these names, like Wayne Ellington and Carmelo Anthony and Otto Porter Jr. and maybe Danny Green, guys like that, that are conceivably fits in order to be able to stretch the floor and in order to have one of those knockdown three-point shooters.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason, how do I say this? If it's going to work anywhere for Russell Westbrook in terms of that type of style of play, being on a team that's going to get to a championship, it's going to work with LeBron. That's basically how I see it. You know what I mean? They're two smart enough guys that they can figure that out as veterans in the league who have been around basketball as long as they have. I just have to believe that because otherwise you wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? It's too risky in terms of like the volatility of how everything goes. LeBron doesn't have that kind of time in his career anymore, if we're being quite honest. You know what I mean? So he's picking guys that he knows can align with who he is. I mean, that first year he was here, it was like him and a bunch of 20-year-olds.
Sure.
That's not happening anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like LeBron's getting veterans who he feels that he can, you know, do things with, and I don't think he's going to be the selfish one in that situation. And I think that's why that's one thing I actually really like about LeBron is that he's a very good team player, and I think that this is going to be another example of that this season.
Yeah, I think so too. And yeah, I mean, Russell Westbrook needs the ball in his hands a lot. Last year, in fact, had the second highest usage rate in the history of the league. Now, granted, that was on a bad team and one where Bradley Beal was injured a bunch, so it's a little bit misleading. But he does need the ball in his hands. It probably means LeBron plays a little more four, plays a little more three.
I prefer him at the three myself. I don't need LeBron at the four. I think the three, like, I think the way that their rotation is going to work best is if LeBron can move at the three. That's just me.
And, of course, shooting guard is wide open, and that's where they need to address in the next couple of hours or in the next couple of days. Among the other stuff that's going on, and there's a bunch of stuff in the NBA, and we'll try to cover all of it for you. Chris Paul opted out of his contract with the Phoenix Suns. They're going to try to. It sounds like there's mutual interest. That's a very popular phrase today. Mutual interest in making that work. The other big opt-out was Kawhi, and again, coming off of an ACL surgery or knee surgery, the expectation is he's going to re-sign with the Clippers on a longer-term deal. The opt-out was expected for Kawhi. And then the big moving piece today that I think we will probably see move, at least get rumors of, and ultimately maybe happen by the time we get to the 3 o'clock hour, is that Kyle Lowry is likely to be on the move. Miami is considered to be the most likely destination.
Huh. Okay. That's interesting. I like Kyle Lowry a lot. Kyle
Me
Lowry
too.
Is one of those guys that I just, you know, like, I want him on my basketball team. You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's not necessarily about anything other than that. He's a competitor. Obviously, his skill set is one that's led Toronto to a finals win. But, like, there's something about the way that dude competes that I just like him. And, I would never turn him down on any team I've rooted for.
So incredibly disappointing news, at least in that promo that Christopher put out there with Ramona on George Sedano, with George Sedano on the Max Kellerman show, that Laker fans need to prepare themselves for life after Alex Caruso. That is a tough. I mean, he's reached folk hero status with the Lakers.
Yeah.
I mean, tremendous play. Unbelievable. And kind of like the everyman of the NBA in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
You know, does all the little things right, is a great defender. The plus-minus when he and LeBron are on the floor, fantastic. But the addition of Westbrook and the fact that Caruso is a walk-away free agent, I think makes it sound like unlikely Caruso will be back.
That's a bummer, man.
It
is sad. To me, I don't want to say that. Caruso is actually awesome. Like, he's one of the reasons why, like, the Lakers are kind of likable in a lot of ways in terms of, like, people who were just here who are not necessarily deep Angelinos but like basketball a lot.
I
loved Caruso. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was a big part of the entry draw for me and that team. I feel like they've got to keep him. I mean, like, just from a basketball roster standpoint, he's a useful player. And the fact that people like him is a bonus. Like, it's going to be a real bummer if he's not on this team. I think that that's a reasonable beef for people to have, not just because he was a white guy that could dunk. You know what I mean? Like, he's legitimately a part of this roster in a way that I think is hard to replace.
Yeah, it has been. And, by the way, we'll open the phone. It's going to be another one of those days where we want to hear a lot from you guys. We'll get you every bit of breaking news as it becomes available and as we get towards 3 o'clock. I have a feeling, you know, a couple of years ago, we did a thing called Sabado Gigante. And it was when the free agency was going to open on a Saturday night at 6 o'clock Pacific. Actually, no, this was the days when it was midnight Eastern. Do you remember the days the free agency opened?
Right.
So we went on there at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, and we were so excited because this was the year that Paul George was going to come to the Lakers. And by the time we went on the air, they were already throwing a party at Westbrook's house, ironically, in OKC, celebrating the return of Paul George. But the rumors start leaking early. So we'll start hearing some stuff as we get into the afternoon a little bit, and we'll be all over that stuff for you. 877-710-ESPN. What do you think of the fit with Russell Westbrook? Does it make sense to you? Because obviously, this is a town of stars. He's a big star. Plays, you know, as John Ireland would say if he was here, plays like a human video game, plays 100 miles an hour with his hair on fire. He absolutely does. Averaged a triple-double this past year. But does it make sense given that we've got LeBron and AD, and how do you feel about the potential exit of Alex Caruso? 877-710-ESPN. We'll work in your phone calls as we move through the afternoon. Also, we're getting ready tomorrow night. You know what's going on tomorrow night at Dodger Stadium, right?
Oh, yeah. Stroh's coming to town.
Astros.
Playoff-level environment.
Big night for the Boo. We'll get into that coming up for you, too. Mason in Ireland. Clinton Yates is in for John 710.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. Yeah, what's going on? It's free agency Monday. Free agency in the NBA will officially open at 3 p.m. today. You know, what it really comes down to, and this is where, you know, I trust Andrew Friedman with the Dodgers, and I trust Rob Pelinka. I saw him put together a championship team with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So it really, this is when the easier part of the job, I think, was making the Russell Westbrook trade. The hard part of the job is putting the right pieces around LeBron, AD, and Russ.
It's the hard part, but I also think that it's been made as easy as possible. This is one of those situations where I think that every once in a while in the NBA, there's like a weird kind of thing where people are like, oh no, we shouldn't put together super teams. And like, there's like kind of an attitude during free agency that kind of rules the roost as to like who's going to go where. I don't think anybody's looking at LeBron's team being like, well, it's time to rebuild. Everybody knows what they're doing. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going after it. And so the names you hear are people who were kind of along similar lines. I mean, Carmelo Anthony? Like, really? You know what I mean? Like, that. I mean, that's
when you say Carmelo Anthony really, is that really good or really bad?
I don't really know. That's what I'm saying. It's just like you're going to pluck. It's just my point is that, like, I think for the personalities you're going to see as the final roster of the Lakers, people aren't going to be as mad at it as they might have thought that they were going to be. Like, I personally think DeRozan is a guy you want to try to get. Is he going to take less money to play at home? Doubtful, but possible, you know? And I like him. I don't know how I feel about Melo. That seems like a bit too far in one direction.
Melo shot 41% from three this year.
I understand that, but Melo's another guy who needs the basketball a lot. He's learned how to take a second role, and he's good as the shooter off the bench. But, like, I don't know.
He's a guy that'll take a veteran's minimum deal, and you're going to need guys that are like that. And you know what's weird? It's like Westbrook has been in this league for a decade and a half, and I think he realizes if he wants to win a championship, this is his best shot. And I think Melo, you know, at the very, very tail end of his career, and I don't know how many stops Melo has left, but this might be his last and best if he does come to the Lakers at a veteran's minimum.
That's
a fair question. Do you want Melo? Is a fair question.
I just think that we're getting towards Gary Payton, Karl Malone kind of energy. You know what I'm saying? Like, at
hey, that
some
team
point,
made the finals. It didn't go well when they got there, and Malone was hurt, and that's one of the reasons they didn't beat Detroit. They may not have beaten them anyway. That was a really good Detroit team. But yeah, that vibe isn't necessarily the worst vibe in the world.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying that like it's going to be very interesting to me who these players are. You know what I mean? Because like if you can find all, you know, sort of the expendables kind of deal, you find all those guys that are kind of on their last go and really want to give it one last rip, it could be really cool. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's go to Frank in Los Angeles. By the way, lines are open, 877-710-ESPN. Frank, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Listen, I don't want them to, if they can, to trade Caruso. He's a good defender. Sometimes he do make some little small mistakes, but that's just because of his hustle. Number two, I think the three-point shooting is a little overrated. For the simple reason is that you've got the team who's the best three-point shooting team in the league at home watching the championship game, and that was Utah. So I think that the trend is kind of going back to guards who can penetrate, like LeBron, like Westbrook. And, yeah, you can kick out, and they can find shooters. There's no problem that he can fill that roster. What you guys think?
Go ahead.
I think they can absolutely fill out the roster. Now, the one area where I disagree with you is, yeah, you pointed out the best three-pointing shooting team in the league didn't play in the finals. But if you look at the best three-point shooting teams in the league, generally speaking, those teams play deep into the postseason. So three-point shooting is something, it's deceiving. We were only, the year we won the title in the bubble, we were 21st in three-point shooting. But they were absolutely on fire once we got to the playoffs. Last year, They shot, they were again 21st in the league in threes and only shot 29% from beyond the arc in the Phoenix series. So you need to get three-point shooting definitely when it counts, and it's not to be underrated. And by the way, I wanted to react to something you said, Clint. I don't think DeRozan's going to take the they've got the taxpayer mid-level exception of $5 million. I don't think he's going to play for $5 million, but on top of that, I don't think he makes sense for the Lakers. I don't think DeRozan really makes sense any longer for the Lakers. He's not a three-point shooter. He is a – if you're really trying to create spacing, he's not your guy because his game is all mid-range.
He's a mid-range guy.
So you don't have a guy to literally stretch the floor the way, for example, a Buddy Hield type would.
Sure. The way I look at him though is sort of a weapon you want to have, not necessarily a person that's a focal point of your offense. But to get back to the caller's point, like, penetrating guards is one thing in your half court sets. What I like about Westbrook is that he adds an element to the transition game that I think is forgotten. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he can be running the ball and you've got AD and your bronze out on wings, your transition game becomes a completely different thing that I think is a major asset here. So that's something I would hope that Pelinka keeps in mind as well when constructing this roster. It's not all about the half-court sets. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to get that ball up and down the floor to compete with some of these teams these days.
Yeah, and I mean, Russ grabs a defensive rebound and it's off to the races. You know what I'm saying? That's that transition game you're talking about. Let's go to Paul in Santa Barbara. Hey, Paul, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks. Yeah, I really think this Russell Westbrook to the Lakers is really going to work, and it kind of goes back to interview LeBron did after the Olympic Games. I'll never forget this. He said, and mind you, this was a team with Kobe and LeBron on the team, and he said, you know, we were in the gym and we're practicing and we're going through motions. We're all pros, and he says everything changed when he walked in the gym. He was going down the middle, dunking on everybody. He picked up the energy so high. We all looked at each other and said, man, we better pick up our energy. And he said that was the reason we won by 30 points every game. And so he also said, I can't wait to play with this guy again in the future. So I'm really excited for this team and the energy Westbrook's going to bring.
Yeah, and he definitely brings that. I mean, he's going to push LeBron. LeBron's going to push him. AD, thanks very much for the phone call.
Yeah, that was a great AD, little anecdote there.
AD has got his moments, right, where it feels like he's drifting a little bit or he's not fully engaged or he's not really locked in. I mean, this is another guy that's going to say, hey, right now, it's go time, right now.
Yeah.
I think he's going to push AD also.
I think that that's perhaps, I mean, quite frankly, that is his strongest suit. You know what I mean? In terms of what he's going to offer to this team. I mean, if we're being real, I mean, the attitude is half of who Russell Westbrook is from a dog standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, he's a competitor, you know, and that's the kind of player that you want commanding your floor unit. And look, the other thing too here, and this is sort of a secondary element that I'm playing a little bit of an armchair psychologist on, is that, like, I suspect that his homecoming is going to be a far more differently focused Russell Westbrook. Like, you can do this sort of thing where you ask Russ to step back and ask him to perhaps play a different role and lower the usage rate because he's at home. He's coming home. There's, like, a different kind of mindset as to why he's here to begin with, and I think that that plays into his ability to do some of the things that the Lakers are going to need him to do that has been different from what he's been on in his past two teams. I really do believe that.
Yeah, and I also look at it and think, he's looking at this. LeBron is looking at this. I don't know how long the LeBron window is. Oh, obviously, it's open right now. Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years? What? By the way, what do you think of it? I think it's max 2 years.
I think. Okay, so when does LeBron's contract in Los Angeles end?
He's got 3 years left.
3 years left. So I mean, if that third year is a championship competitive level team, I'll be surprised.
Me too. That's why. It's not. I mean, it's now. It's the window is open.
The window
now
is definitely now. You know,
and you push all the chips to the middle of the table, and you worry about the future when you get there. Yeah. I don't know what it's going to look like post LeBron, but all I care about is what it looks like with LeBron right now. Hey, I wanted to ask you. You have. When did you move to LA?
March 2020.
Right in the middle of all of it, huh?
Yep, but it was more so at the beginning, kind of. Like,
it was the very beginning. The last time we were in studio doing a show was March of 2020, so you were at the very, very beginning.
Exactly. So
now L.A. can be kind of an isolating town. And then you add the pandemic on top of that. Just personally, how has the move been?
The pandemic.
It's been great. You know, people sort of ask me, like, oh, you haven't gotten experience the real Los Angeles. And, like, look, that's not true. I mean, for two reasons. Number one is that, like, when I moved here, it was part of a larger kind of life decision on just sort of who I wanted to be, what I wanted my pace of life to be like, what I wanted my friends to be like, you know? And so having to be able to come, being able to come here and having to basically do nothing but really pursue and hang out with, or, you know, try to hang out with the people that I really actually like has been quite helpful. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so right.
Now I know myself. You know, I didn't just sort of fall into the typical sort of social channels that I probably would have. My friends are people that I'm closer to, and I genuinely like the stuff that I like. I wasn't just told it was awesome by some other person in LA. You know what I mean? And I had to figure it out by myself. So I'm really, really enjoying it. You know, I go to the beach as much as possible. I was there yesterday, so it's been great, man.
Life is good.
I'm loving life.
Yeah. Nice. I'm glad. I'm glad.
Thank you.
All right. Coming up next, we do something around here called the Wheel of Questions, Clinton. We spin a wheel. We get this gigantic wheel, and there's a question in each spot. And I never know what question is going to pop up. Jorge, who runs the show here, right? Jorge, is it fair to say you run the show?
Si.
Yes. Jorge runs the show. He spins the wheel, and then we find out what question comes up. And they generally are moral quandary kinds of questions. So we will do that coming up next. We will see how you handle that. We'll also get more of your phone calls in. 877-710-ESPN. NBA trade deadline official – I'm sorry, NBA free agency opening is at 3 o'clock today. So we're keeping an eye on everything for you. Generally speaking, stuff starts leaking. So we may know some players that have been added to this Lakers roster, which includes Russell Westbrook, before we get off the air this afternoon. Mason in Ireland, Clinton's in for John, 710 ESPN. Yeah, what is going on? It is Monday. The NBA free agency window opens at 3 o'clock this afternoon. One little tip, and Ramona Shelburne, our friend Ramona, said this on the Max Kellerman show, which was being hosted today by George Sedano, that Laker fans should be prepared to live without Alex Caruso, which is a sad, sad day. Sad day.
Yeah.
We love the Caruso.
Caruso is really a fun part.
Clinton Yates is in for John Ireland today. And every day at this time, we spin the Wheel of Questions. It is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you got a car just sitting around and you want to bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today, they will give you an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. Jorge, let's spin the wheel.
Oh, yes. We got the sounder, too.
Okay. Let me see.
Sounder, it's an actual wheel, man. You've
it's
seen
an actual
it.
Oh, right. You've
seen
what
it up in here.
Sounder.
Pardon, pardon me.
Have you ever been? Have you
it's
ever
a wheel, you see?
Have you ever
wheel,
attended you the Theater of the Mind? You see? Here's what we do. We're going to spin a wheel. All right, so.
Come on, handsome.
We love 30s talk on this show, Clinton.
Yes. Sounds
all right.
Lovely.
Here's the question. While out one day, you were surprised to see your mom holding hands with someone who is clearly her lover. She notices you, runs over, and begs you to say nothing to your father. How do you respond?
This is a weird one for me because my parents have been divorced for longer than they were ever
married. Oh, there you go.
I have responded. I've been in that situation before. Not like that, but like, you know, people that have been involved with my parents. So I think in that case, though, I would like to believe that I would not say anything. If for no other reason than to not cause more problems.
So you would say you would just let it go. If given your mom and dad are still together, let's just assume they're still together.
Yeah. When I was a kid, though, I was pretty aware that, like, I was one of these kids that was very aware that, like, adults do a lot of things that handle stuff way more seriously than I ever want to get involved
in.
You know what I'm saying? So for that reason alone, I would have kept my mouth shut and gone back to my little kid world because I don't need to know or care about what the adults are doing in that regard.
All right. Jorge, what about you?
I'm in the same boat with Clinton, man. My mom and my dad were divorced a while back, so
But let's accept the premise. Your mom and dad. Okay. Let's just say your mom is together with your dad, or
I would tell my
mom
straight up. I would be like, "Mom, I saw this fool with somebody else," or you know, dad. I would tell my dad if it was my dad.
You would tell him.
I would. Yeah.
Knowing that there would be gigantic repercussions.
Yeah, because who knows how long it's been going on. So, like, hey, let's just, if you guys don't want to be together, like, just hash it out, man. Like, just say something.
Okay. Linz, what about you?
Well, like those two, my parents have also been divorced for quite some time. But
wow. Happy families everywhere.
And I do recall that yours are as well. Yours were as well, right?
No, mine are dead. My dad is dead. My mom is still alive.
Well, I just knew you had not stepdad Leo, so that's why I assumed. Okay,
yeah,
so let's
say. No, my dad died.
If I were still a kid and my parents were still together, I think I would... I'm very afraid. Like, I was, like, my mom tried to discipline me, but, like, I was always closer with my dad. Like, don't want to disappoint dad, you know?
Yeah.
So I think I would probably tell my dad. I'm not going to lie.
You would tell him.
Yes,
knowing
I think
that everything could go south.
Yeah, I think I'd tell my dad.
I would actually, because this is who I was as a kid. First of all, as a little kid, if you see your mom holding hands with somebody else, it's got to be shattering, right? I mean, oh my God, there's mom. Who is this guy? What is happening? But I would interject myself into that situation. Like, probably more likely, I would have seen my dad holding hands with another woman. And oh. I would have absolutely given it to my dad, regardless of age, and told my mom, regardless of age, and dealt with the consequences. Because I was a – it's weird. In my family – I don't know how it was in your family. In my family, I was like the – is there such a thing as an alpha child? I felt like I was running things a lot of the time. My dad was like a great big kid. And my mom needed a lot of help, so I was like the alpha child. I would have gotten myself in the middle of that. I would have gotten him to family counseling or broken that sucker up really fast. I think that's who I was as a kid. I was a bossy little kid. So that's the way
tracks,
I would have reacted to that.
So.
Exactly. It tracks so well with what?
With who you are now. I totally get it. I can see you being the one who ran your household. Like, you've got strong opinions, and you know what you're talking about. So, hey, why not?
You know, the knock on me is that I'm very, very controlling. Lindsay, you and I work together. Do you find me to be controlling?
I honestly feel like I'm a little bit more controlling than you.
Agreed. You make – exactly. Next to me, you're the queen of control.
Yeah, totally. But you are. You can be. But I think that my controllingness outdoes yours, if that's a thing.
We have not given Jorge and Lindsay a chance to react to the big Russell Westbrook trade, and I'm curious from you guys how you're – and we'll get some more of your phone calls coming up, 877-710-ESPN.
Oh,
we're
God,
waiting
I
to see who's
everything.
Next.
I'm ruined. I need me a giggle water. Quick.
Yeah.
What? Giggle God, water.
Well, I'm ruined. Where's the giggle water? See? All right. So, Jorge, how in 30s talk, how are you feeling about the Russell Westbrook trade?
Well, I kind of mentioned it last week. I'm excited for it, man. A player of his caliber, triple doubles, you know, has average. Why not? It'll be fun just to watch all three of these guys play together.
He makes an interesting point on this, Clinton. The fit, according to some, is not perfect. And I would say it's not the most perfect fit in the world. But it is in our business. Given what we do for a living, it is going to be very, very good for business in Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think he's going to be very, very popular as well. You know, that doesn't hurt either. Like, again, coming home, exciting player who leaves it on the floor. This is a recipe for success in terms of the overall story arc of Russell Westbrook's career, which I think in the last couple of years, I'm not going to say it's taken a hit, but people look at him and say, oh, three teams in 3 years after an MVP, that's a little weird, but like the homecoming I think will be worth it, and I think people will appreciate it as well as his teammates.
Linz, what about you? You sounded off a little bit about that. You don't love this trade for the Lakers.
Well, I don't love it because of what you said, because of the fit. And I think that the Lakers need a shooter. So now let's assume that fast forward a couple days from now, they've acquired a shooter. I think it could work because at the end of the day, Russell Westbrook is probably going to make you win more games than if you didn't have him, right? You have to assume that's the case. So I guess overall, I'm kind of in wait and see mode, I guess. I'm all right with it. I'm not totally mad about it, but I'm not thrilled. I'm not over the moon.
Ramona Shelburne has apparently reported on The Jump that the Phoenix Suns are expressing interest in signing Alex Caruso. What's interesting about that, to me at least, is that Caruso is a player that they can pay. they're allowed to go over the cap to sign their own players. So this is – now, granted, they're probably going to wind up with the biggest payroll in the league and an enormous luxury tax bill. But Caruso, they could go over the cap to sign if they wanted to.
Yeah. I mean, he's available. And I don't know that – I think this is also one of these situations, too, where you perhaps use the national market as a way to gauge your own talent. Because, like, it's one thing to say that, like, okay, just in theory, we don't necessarily want to pay Caruso such and such a number. But if it turns out that a bunch of different teams are ponying up because they really like him that much, that might change whether or not you consider what your own personal, you know, standard was for how much he was going to go for in terms of your market rate. So this will be very interesting to see. I mean, Phoenix obviously eliminated the Lakers last year. Like, yeah. You don't want him going to that team. Like, that's a very, very interesting team to be pursuing him, I think.
Yeah, and a little update. I guess it's not really an update. Alex Kennedy tweets, DeMar DeRozan, one of the top unrestricted free agents on the market, averaged 21.6 points per game, 6.9 assists, 4.2 rebounds, and a steal with the Spurs, and breaks down some possible destinations, and one of those does include the Lakers. If you're following this story, the Lakers have a payroll right now of about $130 million. They're allowed to go over the cap to sign Alex Caruso if they wanted to. They're allowed to go over the cap to sign THT, Talen Horton Tucker, who's a restricted free agent. So that'll take a couple of days to develop. They've got the taxpayer mid-level exception, which is $5 million. They don't have the full mid-level exception, which is about $9 million. So, for example, if DeRozan were to say, I'll take less to play for the Lakers, he would have to settle for $5 million. I don't think that's real. And the rest
he
of the roster
got paid like $28 million last year.
Exactly.
That's probably not happening.
And the rest of the roster would have to be filled out with veterans, veterans minimum contracts. But you got to believe that there are some veterans that are looking at this situation and saying, "Damn, I want to get a ring. That's a great spot for it. I want to play with LeBron, AD, and Westbrook. I am there." So that's what the Rob Pelinka is banking on, and we expect to hear some names as we move through the afternoon. Now, one of the names that's out there, and we talked about it briefly, Carmelo Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony is in the very latest stage of his career. I would say he's at the end of his career.
He's at the end, yes.
He's at the end. He is an unrestricted free agent. He, of course, is one of the original banana boat guys with LeBron James. They've been friends for many years. Melo, a free agent, shot 41% from three last year, which is a great number, and especially when the Lakers are looking for shooters. Is that a guy Laker fans want back here, want to come here? I think he makes a lot of sense. A lot of people will say, no, got to move on, got to look at the future, got to find young talent moving forward. I love the idea of Melo coming here at this point. I am a huge fan of guys, and it does feel a little bit like those, 2001 Lakers with Malone and Peyton and those guys, that big run they had. They made it to the finals, did not win. They lost to Detroit that year. But you've got motivated guys on the roster who are like, yeah, the winning has to be right now.
I don't hate it. You know, I don't hate it at all. And I think the thing about Melo is that, like, his personality is so big, obviously. You know, but there's a very real question, Mace, as to, like, you know, he did this a little bit for the Blazers, but, like, would he want to do it the same way? Is he going to start? I don't think he does.
No, you know I don't what think I mean? He does.
And I, as long as he knows that, you know what I mean, I think it works. But if, for whatever reason, they get a wild hair and they're like, you know what, Melo's the starter on this team for whatever reason, I just don't think that works. I think as a legitimate role player, even though he is a NBA superstar, Carmelo Anthony makes sense on this team.
All right, 877-710-ESPN. You want to react to the shaping of the roster for this 2021-2022 season. Melo's name is out there as a possibility. Obviously, Russell Westbrook is here now. Alex Caruso now seeming less likely to be on the roster. Ramona Shelburne says, basically, don't hold your breath. Prepare yourself to be disappointed if you're a Caruso fan. 877-710-ESPN. What are your expectations from here? And by the way, Dodgers-Astros tomorrow night. Walker Buehler pitching tomorrow night against the Astros at Dodger Stadium. And then Max Scherzer makes his Dodgers debut Wednesday night against the evil, hated, cheating, lying Houston Astros. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland. Clinton Yates in for John 710-ESPN. As is often the case, the conversations off the air are fascinating. conversations on the air are great, but the stuff behind the scenes,
oh boy.
Clinton walked in on one that was just a beaut, right, Clinton?
Yeah, there was some conversation about what people choose to do in their downtime. That was quite funny, so I'll leave it there.
There is, and we'll get some of your phone calls in here, 877-710-ESPN. Free agency officially opens today. I think the jump is on for like 7 or 8 hours. Momo's on the set, along with Rachel Nichols. I saw Stephen A. on there. Everybody's all over this as free agency opens. The highlights include Chris Paul opting out of his deal with the Suns, although they have mutual interest in putting a deal back together, a longer-term deal. Kawhi Leonard opts out of his contract with the Clippers, expected. Most people expect him to re-sign with the Clippers. He's, of course, dealing with the ACL injury. Kyle Lowry is one of the big names that is expected to move this afternoon. The Miami Heat have expressed a lot of interest in Kyle Lowry, and the Lakers are in the market for shooters, and we will find out. I mean, you know, years ago, Clinton Yates is in for John, by the way. Years ago,
what's up?
The trade deadline or the free agency used to open at midnight, and there was one particular night. I think I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember that Mitch Kupchak showed up at the doorstep while everybody was talking about, hey, we're going after this guy, we're going after that guy, we're going to show up at his house, we're going to make a PowerPoint presentation, all that stuff. Mitch Kupchak showed up on the door of Timofey Mozgov with a bag of money and said, Timofey, you're our guy. That's when it was dark here, Clint. You weren't here when life was bleak,
no,
as a Lakers fan.
No, but like, I'm just visualizing that. Like, just the general concept of showing up to places with bags of money makes me laugh. But I feel like this is, man, I feel like we should be doing something like slightly wackier as like a bit, you know what I'm saying? For like the trade deadline. Now that you've mentioned it, you said when the show was at 9 PM, what did you guys do for that show?
We were in a total frenzy because there was name after name after name, and we had sirens and horns and all that kind of stuff. Jorge, do we have a siren for when we get a free agent news? I'm sure we got something. When we got a free agent signing or a free agent agreement, nothing can become final. What do you got?
All I have is that breaking news app when we use.
You know what we should get, Lindsay? You guys would love this. It's like in the Hunger Games when somebody dies and they shoot the cannon. every time somebody goes off the board, you should shoot the cannon to let you know that it's a free agent.
Great idea.
All right,
We'll definitely find that.
I'll find it.
Let's get Al in here. Al in Inglewood, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
What's up, fellas? First thing I want to say is our big three are different from like Brooklyn. Harden and Kyrie are pretty much the same player. And, you know, you live by the three, you die by the three. We can go down low. AD, Westbrook, and LeBron are three different type of players. Even though they're not good at free throw shooting, but you're still going to collect fouls when they go down. So we can go down low. And we still got Wes Matthews and the other kid we came later. I can't think of his name.
THD.
But one thing I want to say to all you Slipper Clipper fans, you see what the Dodgers and the Lakers did? And what have the Clippers done? Nada, TT. That's why you'll never, ever pass the Lakers in L.A.
Yeah, I'm with you, Al. Never going to happen.
I love unprompted Clipper hate.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Al. 877-710-ESPN. You know, we got warned off of hating them too much during the playoff run this year, Clinton.
Well,
you know,
I mean, listen, I'm somebody
who's always hated the Clippers, and I got a memo. It's like, you know, be nice.
I don't know what legally we're supposed to be doing, but I do know this, and I'm not going to derail the whole show on this, but I've said this before. I'll say it again. Nobody talks about the Clippers more than Lakers fans. It's just a fact. So we can move right along. That being said, I do think the caller's point about the type of player that Russell Westbrook is versus Kyrie and Harden is right. Like, the variances in their variance, the variety of their games between AD, LeBron, and Russell is enough to make me think it can work. One guy's a slasher, gets to the hole a lot, draws a lot of fouls. AD can find a way to float as well as be in the key, and LeBron can move around the wing. This isn't, like, super hard for me. I know that a lot of people have thought, though, there's spacing issues and this, that, and third because of the usage rate. I still think just to the naked eye, you know, these three can work, Maze.
Yeah, I think they absolutely can work. It's an interesting question, though. Who's got the better big three? If you go to Vegas right now and you want to bet on who's going to win the title, the favorites are the Nets, and the second favorite is the Lakers. Who really has the better big three?
Hmm. That's a good question.
It's a hard question because, you know, you've got – I mean, frankly, it comes down to, in a lot of ways – KD just may be the best shooter, scorer in the game right now, best player in the game right now. So, so they have that advantage. I mean, LeBron, although, you know, and this, I get reminded this all the time because I've talked about the LeBron window closing and who knows how long it's going to be and it's age 37 season, all that stuff. LeBron was on course to be the most valuable player when he got hurt last year, or at least a top three choice for most valuable player. So it's not as though... It's not as though LeBron is over. The LeBron thing
no,
is not.
No, the
over.
Wheels are not falling off. No, I don't think that's going to be how that is anyway. I don't think that you're going to see a situation where LeBron is taking the court as a shell of himself. I think he's just going to one day walk away from the game and say, "This is no longer what I want to do anymore."
Yeah, I think that's true. And whether or not he wants to hang on and play with Bronny when he gets to the NBA, which. I mean, I wouldn't put it past LeBron to figure out a way to make that happen. It wouldn't surprise me. But, I mean, I think for all intents and purposes, we're watching – we've got LeBron just slightly past peak. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. But you got a ring out of it. And so it feels validated in many ways and in also other ways. That might be kind of why I give the edge to their big three, is that they've got a ring more recently with more members of said – you know, triumvirate. Like, they know how to do it, you know? And I think that's another reason why the Russell Westbrook thing, again, all of this stuff falls in line to work. Russell doesn't have a ring. They're not ring chasing as a ring chaser community. One guy is adding to a situation because they want to add to what they've built. It's not like none of them have won anything. That's a big part of this.
I would argue the other dynamic, and that's a fair question, by the way, who's got the better big three, LeBron AD, Russell Westbrook, or Harden, Kyrie, KD? The one other dynamic that I would point out is that of the Brooklyn big three, Harden and Kyrie are more combustible personalities. In the case of the Lakers, Westbrook is combustible, I think, but LeBron and AD are not. So they've got two sort of, I don't want to say wild cards, but two ways that can go wrong. Two players that could sort of tip a delicate balance one way or the other and may cause problems there. So I think that's the other thing. We've got Westbrook, who's a bit of a wild card.
I mean, I think the wild card factor there is not dangerous, but I think more so what I feel about that is that, like, it's going to be a harder emotional road, I think, in terms of just the daily interactions for the Nets. That's just – their personalities are different. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're going to see some fieriness that you probably see in a very different way from the LeBrons and the ADs. I just think that they're different personalities. Like, combustibility, okay, but that's also part of what drives them and makes them good. So I wouldn't want to manage that too much because those are who those guys are. I just think it looks different on the East Coast. I mean, they've got a very, for lack of a better term, East Coast energy. Compared to, you know what I mean, what's going on out here in L.A.?
So yesterday, Clinton, was National Psychic Day. National Psychic Day.
Weird. I didn't know that. Ha!
No, ha!
took a second there.
Took a second. Yeah. So I kind of want to tell me next. Think about it for a second.
Okay.
Tell me next, and I'll see if I know your answer. Do you believe in psychics? Do you believe in them? Because I've got experience with psychics. I actually know a psychic. I actually know two psychics, believe it or not. Two psychics who often disagree. We got that coming up next for you. Do you believe in psychics? Plus, the very latest on the NBA Free agency opening, and LeBron, AD, Westbrook, Harden, Kyrie, KD, who's got the better big three? Do you want Melo or do you not want Melo? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.